Blog Talk Radio.
A communion service. We will save that for tomorrow or the eighth day.
trying to figure out which one we should do it on. And then I was also thinking about the eighth day and its teaching. So we will, I will update you when the Most High, you know, settles it in my heart, what I should be doing for us on that day. Truth be known, the Most High has been dealing with me concerning concerning atonement and concerning Messiah and the second temple. So after Tabernacles, I really want to do another lesson because he showed me some things, and then I, you know, through researching, and I just want to sit around and not do anything, do the research. I found out some things that I had not known before, and quite frankly, I had not actually looked into them. But it appears that the Most High was not offering atonement to Israel for over, from what I saw in the scriptures, about 512 years. And so this, you know, the Day of Atonement and Tabernacles, it took on a whole new meaning for me because, you know, without Messiah, we had no way back. And remember we read in Ezekiel that the Most High said he gave them statutes and laws that were not good for them? And I always wondered what they were. Most High, which of these did you give to us that were not good, and what were we doing that you didn't really want us to do? But you gave it to us anyway. And so when I saw this, it really amazed me. But at the same time, I realized that from the time of the second, from the time of going to Babylon to Messiah, something was wrong. And so, you know, we'll go over it. We have it today. But it showed me some things that, you know, we have to be careful what we do, even concerning the laws. But we don't have a temple, and it really revolves around this temple and the subject today. But we're not going to get into it like that. So we're going to talk about Tabernacles, and we're going to talk about, I sent out a message saying that, you know, this is the only feast day that we really have to invite the Gentiles to. The Most High is going to make it mandatory for them to attend. But we as a people, this really is the only feast day that didn't require us to be in the temple. And it required to, you know, to tabernacle outside of Jerusalem and around Jerusalem. So when we're doing it here in the state, if we're honoring Tabernacles, then this was a feast day that the Most High made so that the Gentile nations could come and learn. And it didn't require them to enter into the temple because he said that no uncircumcised person of heart or flesh would enter into his temple. He never wanted that. And so he says the day is coming when, you know, that won't happen ever. So, you know, we want to look at this from the standpoint, you know, it's not just about afflicting our souls, and it's not just about living in temporary boots for 7 days. Because as we previously understood, we are the tabernacle. We are the temple today that the Most High wants to dwell in. And so from that standpoint, is tonight's lesson coming forth from that standpoint. And, you know, that we should be reaching out to the Gentile nations during this time to, you know, to get them to try to come and learn about the Most High and learn about his laws, learn about his statutes and his commandments. Also teaches us from what standard we are supposed to treat the Gentiles. Okay, so we're going to get into all that on this evening. And so I pray that you have had a blessed week. and that, you know, we are still haven't buried my wife's father-in-law, my father-in-law. He was my friend, even though we didn't agree on a lot of things. We argued about a lot of things concerning the Most High and concerning the scriptures. He still was my friend, and I really considered him to be my friend. Anytime that I needed him, he would make himself available. If, you know, whether it was working on a job or I needed, you know, help on a job or I just needed to have someone to talk to, you know, he's a very smart man. He was very bright. He had a faith issue. And, you know, and it made me wonder, you know, why. But he had a faith issue. And not that he didn't believe in the Most High, he just didn't believe in the Bible. And I'm like, okay, that, you know, that presented some problems. But he was, as I said, my friend. He's my wife's father. And, you know, I made myself unclean to deal with him as he was passing. And so, intercession. And, you know, I knew what I was doing at the time, but I did not consider the time of the year. You know, so I didn't consider it was the feast day coming up. You know, this was something that needed to be done, had to be done. And it was at the Most High's function to do so. So we are past that time frame, and we are ready to be before the Most High and to worship and praise him and to be in his word. With that being said, let me welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America or South America, on the African continent, European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let me have the ladies to cover their head. Men, uncover your head as we do our statement of faith. And let me bring this up. I want to drop in there. Okay, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise. And we lift you up, O Elohim, for you are our Elohim, and there is no other like you, Father. No one else that we will bow down to and worship. But to you and to you alone do we give our adoration to and our worship, Father. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O God, Elohim. Glory, Father, for you are our Elohim. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should do perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. You hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here. Seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways and turning from our sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an answer and come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
I worship you. worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Made by fire unto Yah. We are that offering. to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto Yah. We don't do sacrifices anymore. We are that. And Yah spake unto Moses saying, verse 27, also on the 10th day of this month, of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your soul, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. So you celebrate that day by fasting, by denying yourself something, by spending it time with the Most High, you and Him, in prayer. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yah, your Elohim. Now, I told you, we remember what Messiah did for us, because He is our atonement. And so we revel and we remember and we memorialize that Messiah went to the cross for us. And that, you know, He gave His life. That we should come out of sin, not enter there into again, not knowingly at least. And what for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. The Most High wants us to honor that day. And, you know, we can't make sacrifices. And as I've taught people, you don't go in and try to make an atonement. You know, the Most High was not making an atonement for all Israel on that day. Only those who had done an ignorant sin and had it presented in, you know, had made the atonement in the sanctuary during the year. And so that's going to be a topic. We haven't been doing any lessons, and I've been doing the research. The Most High had brought it to me, you know, that I need to look at that, especially during the Second Temple era, Herod Temple. And what were they doing? Okay. And we're going to find out that they were, you know, they were doing some things they ought not do. And the most, and this, the scriptures that we're going to read in the New Testament concerning the curtain, and the curtain in the temple. The Most High wasn't meeting them there even before Messiah came. That's what the Most High showed me. I wasn't there. And I finally showed it to them that I wasn't there. I ripped that curtain in two. Okay, and we're going to read those things because we understand that then that's the end of that system. Okay? I'm no longer going to meet you at the mercy seat. The thing is, the mercy seat was not there. That's what he showed me. The mercy seat was not there even when Messiah got there. So the Pharisees were faking some things. That's how they were coming up with their own doctrine, their own commandments, their own traditions, contrary to what the Most High said. So we're going to look at those things. But on today, we're in the sixth day, and I pray that you know you have kept the feast days, the 5 days earlier, and that you have remembered the Most High each and every day, and that you have presented yourselves to Him. Tabernacles is about more than just living in temporary booths for 7 days. So we're going to read that, but it also has more meaning to it than just that, okay? For whatsoever soul it be that shall not afflict, that shall not be afflicted that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings in the ninth day of the month at evening. So that's going to start atonement from the evening until evening. Remember, our feast days start in the evening, always. Sabbath starts in the evening. So he's not doing anything special here. The day begins in the evening and goes from evening to evening. So the evening of the ninth would be the start of the tenth day. And so that's what you would be observing. From evening to evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day, 7th month, shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto Yah. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. 7 days. Present yourself to him. Now, being in an unclean state this year, I did not do that. Okay? And so I prayed if you did, and I prayed that, you know, our conscience can be clear with this. Last year, we celebrated morning and night. Okay? And it was our offering of fire to the Most High, ourselves, and our worship and our praise. It'll be a holy convocation. Now, this 8th day represents the future in gathering. Okay, and so we will look at that on the 8th day. This future in gathering that the Most High is going to do on the 8th day. Because the 8th day actually represents what people want to call the Most High or the Father's kingdom. You know, when Messiah will have turned over rule back to the position of Father and be in subjection. Right now, from the position of Messiah, he's doing everything. And the only entity not subject to him as far as position is the Father. Everything else is subject to Messiah except the Father from that position. Because, you know, I'm never going to submit. The Father is the Most High. And that position is the Most High position, really the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. But all, as far as works go and what he's doing in the earth, right now he's doing it from the position of the Son, okay? And that's why we have to go fire with everything. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. It is a solemn assembly. Solemn means serious. Means that you know, it's not a laughing and joking matter. It's not a celebration. It's really a memorial. And you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of Yah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon his day. Whatever physical sacrifices the Most High had, burnt offerings and meal offerings and peace offerings that were supposed to be done in those days, we have to do it as a people, offering ourselves. And that said, okay, besides the Sabbath of Yah and besides your gifts and besides all your vows, besides your free will offerings which you give unto Yah, and also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, this is the in-gathering, you shall keep a feast unto Yah 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. Now, this is still also referring to tabernacles. Take on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of fig trees. Now, they're using this because this is what's available to them. You got a lot of brothers and sisters trying to, you know, go get and make up temporary booths, trying to find this stuff, and it's something that doesn't even grow in every hemisphere. But today we have modernized, we have tents, we have, you know, if you had a cabin or whatever, what you want to do is not be in your normal dwelling. And if you are in your normal dwelling, then you want to make it for yourself, you know, put up something that resembles a tent, to honor the Most High in it, okay? And willows of brooks, and you shall rejoice before Yah your Elohim 7 days. This is to remind us that he had our forefathers to sleep in what? Temporary booths in the wilderness 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yah 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever. Not as long as you're in Israel. Forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. That are all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Now, Doesn't say the Gentile has to do this. But during this time, we're going to read in the scriptures that the Most High, this is the time that he allowed the Gentiles, and is going to command that the Gentiles come to Israel, come to Jerusalem, and worship him, tabernacle. Why? Because in the future, when they come, at first, they're going to be unclean. Can't enter into the temple. Can't enter into the sanctuary. The Most High said, no uncircumcised person shall enter into the sanctuary, into his sanctuary, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh. Okay? And so all the Gentiles that want to join themselves to Israel, all the males have to be circumcised. And they will get an inheritance in Israel, in the land, in whatever tribe they want to be in. That don't mean that because they're dwelling in those tribes that they can perform those duties assigned to the state of priesthood. And I'm thinking in the future, you don't really want to be of the Levitical priesthood because the Most High kind of fires them because of what their forefathers did. Now he says you can greet at the doors, you can help the people with sacrifices, but you can't come directly before me. You can't serve me. You can't meet me in the inner sanctuary and serve me. Won't be able to serve Messiah, the Levitical priesthood, because of what they did, okay? So it's the priesthood of the Zohar and the Melchizedek priesthood. Shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am Yah your Elohim. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Yah. So we are to know about these feast days, but they also, we know that the feast days of the Most High, they represent other things. See, that temporary booth, we are in a temporary body. Our body is not forever. And so that booth also represents our body to remind us that we're only here temporarily. We're not here permanently in this state. But he wants us to remember what he did and what he caused the children of Israel to do. Okay. So let's look at this. Let's go to Joel, because as I told you, we are the tabernacle today. Okay. And the Feast of Tabernacles is to remind us that we are in this temporary body, and that we worship the Most High and honor him in the booth, to realize that it also applies to this body itself, the one that we live in currently, the one that is mortal. Because the Most High says, I'm going to raise you up and give you a permanent body, a permanent tabernacle. But we got to understand first that we are that tabernacle. Okay, so let's start it this way, to understand that the Most High wanted to dwell in us. And he always wanted that. So let's go to Joel chapter 2, 29. Because all of this stuff goes together. You can't separate it and, you know, make it to where they don't join together. The Most High has everything done for a purpose and joined together, and most of it has dual meaning. Okay? So Joel chapter 2, and we're going to get verses 28 and 29. And the word of the Most High reads, afterward, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Within all flesh, he's not saying everybody. Everybody, all flesh will be eligible as far as men and women, children go. But he's not going to pour out his spirit on everybody. They're available, but they got to do the things that make themselves eligible. Okay? But in the past, he only poured out his spirit on his prophets, on the king. Okay? He never poured it out on the handmaiden and the bondmaiden and the everyday person. And now I'm going to do that. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. He wasn't doing, he always wanted to pour out his spirit on Israel. But Israel wasn't allowing to. How? By disobedience, by disbelief. But it's always been his intent. Okay. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit, not some other spirit. Because you're going to walk around and people are going to say, oh, Most High, you know, Gabriel is the Holy Ghost. And the Most High poured out the spirit of Gabriel on you. What? The Most High says, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. Singular possession. Mine. So this, and it don't just happen to anybody and everybody. Okay. And I will show wonders in the, now this is when it's going to end. So we'll stop at verse 30. Because he's also telling us what signs and when it's going to end. I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth and blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness. The sun ain't turned into darkness yet. And the moon into blood. The moon ain't turned into blood yet. And the great and before the great and terrible day of Yah. When is it going to stop? Before the great and terrible day of Yah. The thing is, we don't know when that is. Tells us, no, it's going to come like a thief in the night. You're going to, it's going to say peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. So we don't know when it's going to be. Okay. People trying to figure it out. But if the Most High don't want it known, trust, it ain't going to be known. That's why you have to always be watching, always be living and looking. That's why it says watch. Look for these signs. Tell you that the end is near, but they're not going to tell you the exact day and the hour. So it's going to come before the terrible day of Yah comes. That's when he's going to come and judge. Okay, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, because we know, well, let's go to Acts chapter 2. That all this goes together. Let's get verse 4. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Yah, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, as Yah gave them utterance. You don't speak in tongues on command. You don't speak in tongues because you want to speak in tongues. You speak in tongues as Yah gives you utterance. And you have to allow it. So you don't just say, or somebody say, let me teach you how to speak in tongues. No. Don't work that way. As Yah gives you utterance. Okay? That's how we're supposed to operate. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of the Most High, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yah. So when you are in the Spirit is going to have you to magnify Yah. Okay? When you are singing a song, when you are singing a hymn, when you are singing spiritual songs, you don't have to speak, you don't have to sing the songs that everybody sings. Song that the Most High puts in your heart. They may not even exist right now as far as spoken, but sing what he puts into your heart. That's your praise to him. Make a melody in your heart to Yah. So these songs that people are always playing, or when you go to the church, they have the hymnal book. You don't have to know those songs. If you are filled with the Spirit of the Most High, sing the song he put in your heart. And make a joyful noise to him. giving thanks always, giving thanks always for all things unto Elohim and the Father in the name of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach. Do it in his name. Submitting yourselves one to another in fear of Elohim. Not in fear of each other, in fear of him. Because he commanded this. Okay? So, we are supposed to be filled with his spirit. We are the tabernacle where Yah wants to dwell. That's what he prophesied about. Okay? That don't get high off of wine or alcohol. For that sake, marijuana. Don't get high off of those things. Get high off of me. And there's nothing like being high on the Most High. There's no feeling like that. No hangover, no headache, no tiredness. 4 in verse 1. Yeshua, being full of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Ruach, by the Spirit, into the wilderness. The Most High communicates to us through his Spirit. He can speak to us through his Spirit. He can guide us and lead us by his Spirit. And we, being living tabernacles, have to have his Spirit within us to be led by it. If we're trying to do good in and of itself just to be good and not being led by his Spirit, then we have issues. Okay? We have issues. Because it's still us and our carnal mind leading us. But we want to do the right thing. We're trying to do the right thing. But if Elohim ain't telling you what to do, then how do you know what the right thing is to do? Because he might be telling you to go left and you're going right. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Just cementing this in us that we have to have the Spirit. Okay. Acts chapter 4. And verse 31. And the word of the Most High read. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of Elohim with boldness. With boldness. See, when we are of ourselves, things that we do, the word of the Most High, we will not speak it boldly. We'll be too afraid we're going to offend someone. We'll be too afraid somebody's not going to agree with us. They don't have to agree with you or me, and nor you with them. Following the Spirit of the Most High, and as the Most High is leading you, that's all you need. Okay? Him in you, guiding and directing you. This is where he has always wanted to be. What house will you build me, David? Seeing that all these things my hand has made. If I wanted a house here on the earth, I'd have put a house here on the earth. But I did put a house here on the earth. You just don't know it's you. Okay, you just don't know that it's you that I want to dwell in. Go to Acts chapter 9. Because, you know, Saul was one of the, as we know him as Paul, so I wanted to use him in a mighty way, but he needed to be leading him. Paul, you're a lawyer. I'll need to make some changes to the law. But I don't want to eradicate my law. I want to be able to show people that if they are cleaned up and if they are not sinning, then they are not subject to the law. They're not subject to the statute. and the judgment of the law. Because we're not going to break them. So people read those verses like, oh, no, he did away with that stuff. No, I wiped your charges away. I expunged your record and told you clean. Now you can approach the throne boldly and come and ask me what you will. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, Saul said, Brother Saul, yeah, even Yeshua that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight filled with what? The Ruach HaKodesh. You're going to become my servant, and you got to have my spirit. The stuff I'm going to put you through, if you don't have my spirit, you ain't going to endure it. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. When Ananias laid hands on Saul, Saul received the Ruach. He still had to be baptized. Ananias was the witness. But Saul spoke in tongues. He's the one that wrote about speaking in tongues and other languages as the Spirit gives you utterance. He's the one that is how it works. And when you see something other than that, then you say, I wouldn't go against it because Yahweh can do what he wants. But many people will say that they have the Spirit of the Most High, the Spirit of the Most High is talking. But then there are mimicking spirits as well. Be aware of that. Let's go to Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. And Acts chapter 13 is when the Ruach really, when the gospel really start being sent, okay? They were filled and the Holy Spirit was offered and released to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. But here, because of what our forefathers did, by rejecting the gospel through their disobedience, Most High says, all right, and Paul says, now, because you, my brethren, have rejected this gospel, we go now to the Gentiles. Okay? So, Acts chapter 13, verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. They became living tabernacles. Breathing. Tabernacle. The Most High walked in them. Let's go over here. Let's go over there. Let's not go over there. I'm not ready to work with them yet, or I'm not going to ever work with them. When we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, then people have to be very concerned that, are they talking to the Most High? Or are they talking to you? Remember that. Are they talking to the Most High? Are they talking to you, the individual? Have to be very careful with that. So when we get into the Spirit in the newcomers class, we will go back to these verses, but we will go through them in detail so you can get the gist of the story to understand what the Most High was doing. Okay? Romans chapter 8. Let's get verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit, the Spirit that was in Mashiach, the Spirit of wisdom and salvation, the Spirit of the Most High, the same Spirit was in Mashiach. He is none of his. So without this Ruach HaKodesh, you don't belong to the Most High. You're not his child. Okay? You're not a tabernacle. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law to tell you how much to love. There's no law to tell you how much joy to have, how much peace to have, how much long-suffering. Don't say, oh, well, you can long suffer for a day and it's all good. No, it's no law to put a limit on it. How gentle to be, how much goodness to have, how much faith, meekness, and temperance. There's no law against that. There's a law. The law is for lawbreakers to put a limit on that. Somebody offends you. Then this is my law concerning that. Somebody cuts your finger, you can't take their hand. Okay, there's a law for those things that limits those things. But the goodness of the Most High, there's no law that limits you how much love you dispense. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we've seen the verses, and we're not through with those verses that say that we have to have the Spirit. We have to be the tabernacle. Okay? That's what happened when Messiah was crucified. From Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to get verses 50 and 51. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. Yeshua, when he had cried again with a loud voice, now he has been crucified. He has been beaten. He has been, and now he's ready to give up the ghost. And when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent, was torn in two, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, the rocks broke. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which are slept arose, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. So imagine, your father, your mother just died. Messiah goes to the cross, he dies. And in the release of to show the people that this was an act of the Most High, your mother or your father comes back. And they are walking around in the city, coming to your house. I'm back. You know, most of us would have a fit. But this is what happened when Messiah died. Now, these people went back and they died again because it wasn't time for the resurrection yet, but there was just that much power there. The thing we want to focus on here is the temple, because we became the temple at that point. We became the tabernacle. Israel used to meet the Most High in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle and in the temple. First in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then later in the temple. Meet them in the Holy of Holies. The first temple, not so sure, and I don't think he met them in the second temple. Okay. Matter of fact, I know he did not meet them in the second temple. That's why we don't hear Messiah having a lot to do with that temple. Because your temple. Okay? I'll tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days. He wasn't meeting them there, but to show our forefathers coming in here and doing atonement every year. I ain't been here. And the end of that system is now. Let me rip the curtain that keeps you out of the Holy of Holies. Because guess what? The mercy seat wasn't there. The mercy seat never came back from Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar took it. It never came back with them. Atonement. But that just leads to something else. And we'll get into that in depth another time. But that's why Messiah had to also come from a virgin and be without sin, because there was no place really to make atonement. So he had to come without fault, without blemish, and then stay that way for him if he had sinned. This is what the Most High was showing you. So he had to come from a virgin. He had to be born sinless. And then when he died on the cross, the Most High said, okay, now show you all that that system is done away with. Messiah was a walking, living, breathing tabernacle. The Spirit of the Most High dwelt in that flesh, in that tabernacle. So now I'm going to give you the opportunity to become living and breathing tabernacle, living and breathing temple. Okay? Let's see what the Word says about that. Or is it just Brother Miles off base? Go to 1 Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 6. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, which is in you? This is where the Most High wanted to dwell. You have of Elohim. And you are not your own. You belong to him. You are bought with a price. If you accept the gift of salvation, your body's not yours. It's his. And so don't you know that you are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh? The Holy Spirit, which is in you, has to be in you. If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is holy, which temple you are. Tabernacles is to remind you of that. Tabernacles is to put your mind and your focus on what the Most High is visiting, the Most High being in flesh, because this is a future event. Most High coming back to this earth as Messiah in the flesh and shall be with us. It leads to that day. But in the meantime, we are the temple. And we're only the temple if the Most High dwells in us. And if we live any kind of way, if we break this law concerning how we're supposed to behave, we defile the temple. Pray we can hear this. So we can't do things how we want to do them. Have to do it the way that he says to do it. It's as if we defile his temple, then he's going to destroy us. Okay? I'm going to destroy that house. I don't want to live there. Now, let's talk about tabernacles from the standpoint of the Most High wanting the Gentiles to come to Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? To learn of him, to learn how to worship him, to submit themselves. Go to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. And let's get verses 1 through 49, verses 1 through 6. Listen, O Isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. Yah has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadows of his hand has he hid me, and made me a polished staff. In his quiver has he hid me. The quiver is where you hide your arrows, where you put your arrows at for your bow. To me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing, for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with Yah, and my work with my Elohim. And now says Yah that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yah, and my Elohim shall be my strength. And he said, Is it a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore serves of Israel? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith Yah, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhor, the nations hate, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, and princes also shall worship, because of Yah that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel. Now hold on here. Give me a hot second. I left out some verses I wanted to get. Zechariah chapter 14. The book of Zechariah chapter 14. So Israel is supposed to be a light unto the nation, unto the Gentiles. Zechariah chapter 14. And let's get verses 16 and 17. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And the word of the Most High reads, that everyone that is left of all the nations who came against Jerusalem. Now, all these nations that came against Jerusalem, Most High says they're going to have to do this. They'll even go up from year to year to worship the King, Mashiach, Yah of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. Now they can come keep this because for tabernacles you don't have to enter into the temple. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yah of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain. Remember I told you the scripture says Egypt is the people. That's why they are mentioned here specifically. They corrupted themselves. We are the priesthood. And so people get offended when you tell them that Egypt is its people. I don't know, they get offended at me. I said, well, I didn't say it. The book says. But that's why they're mentioned here. Now, if any of the nations act like Egypt, and they don't come up the same plagues that he put on Egypt for not complying, he's going to put on those nations. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be a plague wherewith Yah will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations, all people that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So they're going to have to come, and they're going to have to worship the Most High, and they're going to have to learn his laws. And in this case, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then he says, all right, then I'm going to punish you in a bad way. You know, if you ain't got no food, starvation is something else. Now, this cannot be during the eighth day. This has to be during the reign of Messiah. But these people think that the reign of Messiah, the 1,000 years, is all peace and blessings. The ruling of the nations with a rod of iron. If you break my commandments, this is what's going to happen to you. Not being thrown in the lake yet. Let me bring a plague upon your land. Let me let you see how starvation feels. For real, for real. No matter what you grow, whether it's in the dirt, or whether it's hydroponically, whether it's in an air-conditioned building, it ain't going to grow. Because I commanded it not to. So this is why this is the only feast day that we have to actually invite the nation to the temple. We can offer them salvation anytime, but you can't just invite just anybody to Passover. Why in Passover? That's why the nations don't want to keep it. We don't want to be circumcised like them. But we have to teach them why. You want to come into covenant with the Most High? Those of you who want to have land in Israel, when the Most High restores Israel, not to the sliver of land that it is today, but from the River Nile to the River Euphrates, about 5 or 10 times bigger than, I think it may be more than that, than what current Israel is. You want to have your part in the land? Then this is the law concerning those things. Want to stay amongst your own nation? Okay, fine. Because the Most High wants to teach them his commandments. That way they are without excuse. Come and pay homage to your Creator. My priesthood is going to teach you my ways. This is what we were supposed to always be doing. What we were designed for, to teach people his ways. Now when Messiah returns and you are ruling with him, the job will be to teach the nation when they come every tabernacle. To rule over them, you're going to be teaching them during the year, but they got to come and pay homage, and they got to also come and be taught the law, the statutes, the commandments, the ordinances. Because then they can't say they weren't told. No, I had made you come here and talk to you. So you can't say you're ignorant anymore. We're supposed to be doing that now. We remember that the Most High made our forefathers to dwell in temporary bodies, in temporary boots. Nations, you are in temporary bodies, but you have to serve the true and living Elohim, the true and living God. You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. You have to obey his law, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances. We as living tabernacles are supposed to teach that. But people want to teach what's right in their own eyes. So this is what tabernacles is all about. Remember, I had you to dwell in temporary booths. Remember, I'm giving you a permanent place. Remember, your own body is a temporary booth. And I'm going to raise you again to give you a permanent body. Let's get that verse. Corinthians chapter 12. Let's get verse. Let's just read this. Starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Things that you're going to receive from the Most High. I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles. Not to the Gentiles, but it's also to Israel. That you were Gentiles carried away unto those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the spirit of Elohim calls Messiah cursed, and that no man can say that Yeshua is Yah, but by the Holy Ghost. People can't confess that he is Yah. They're going to think of him as a separate being. It is Yah that has to reveal that. But by the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, there are diverse gifts, but the same Spirit. So different gifts from the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, how it works. But the same Master, the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, different ways that even those gifts operate. But it's the same Elohim which worketh all in all. So the gift of healing don't have to work the same way in all of us. Different administration, different operation. Yah may make you wear plastic, wear rubber, because your faith will allow something to pass to you. And then there'll be others that say, no, you don't have to wear that. And you can touch them. Because your faith already lets you know, I protect you. Different operations. Okay? Same gift. Not working the same way. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the, but all these worketh that one and all these worketh that one and self same Spirit. All of these working by the same Elohim. He's doing it all. Dividing to every man separately as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Mashiach, Christ. It is, he's one body, but the power and the wisdom of Elohim working the same by the same Spirit. Okay. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. There ain't a different Spirit for the Jews and a different Spirit for the Gentiles. And whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Messiah is not one member. Just like your body is not made up of one cell. is made up of many cells that make up different organs, that have different functions, that perform different jobs in the body. And so, you know, a lot of times we get off base with people because we think everybody's got to be acting the same way. Your eyeballs don't act like your feet. You don't need to put a moisturizer like, what's that stuff, that eye drop, on your toes. You don't need to shave calluses off your eyes. Perform different jobs. Still the self same spirit. We have to know our place in the body. Some of us are hands. Some of us are eyes. Some of us are mouth. Some of us are butt. That's our job. So we got to understand that we're all supposed to be operating by the one and self-same spirit of the Most High. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Because I ain't like the foot, I'm a hand, I ain't part of the body. Typically, we'll have a hand telling the foot, or vice versa, that is not part of the body. Because it don't act like them. Because they don't know their function in the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, or where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has Elohim set the members, and this is where I tell my Hebrew brothers and sisters, because they be trying to put people in the body where they want them at. Oh, you can't, you're a Gentile, you can't be a tongue. The Most High determines who's going to be where in the body. Now, you and I. But now has Elohim set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. So they truly are of the body of the Most High. They're where he places them at, and they have to learn how to function as that. Everybody can't be the head. Everybody can't be the foot. Everybody can't be the hand. But wherever he placed you at in the body, understand what your role is and do it with all your might. And if they were all one member, where is the body? If the whole body was an eyeball, it's just an eye. Where's the rest of the body at? Something's wrong. If the whole body is a foot, well, where's the rest of the ankle and the leg and the hip joint and the rest of the body? But we got to understand, as living and breathing tabernacles, where we fit in. So the Most High can use us as he sees fit. But now are there many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, more of those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. In other words, it used to be a saying, a joke. One day the body was fighting. All the members in the body were fighting. And the hand said, I should be the leader. Because I get everything that we need. And the feet should be the leader. Because I take us everywhere we want to go. The brain said, I should be the leader. I tell all of y'all what to do. And then the butt said, I should be the leader. And all of them laughed. How are you going to be the leader? So the butt shut down. And the brain began to swell. And the hands began to swell. And the feet began to swell. And all the members of the body said, let the butt be head. There's another word for that. But you get the gist of it. Let the those members of the body that are more feeble, they have a job to do that they don't get much honor because, oh, that's yucky, that's nasty. But it's necessary to give them double honor. The head don't have a problem getting honor. The mouth, the brain, the hands, comely parts, don't have a problem. It's those parts that don't get much attention. Those parts that have to do the dirty work. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. If you give them more honor, they look better. So we got to understand that everybody has their place. Individually, we go about and we do what the Most High gives us to do. When we're acting corporately, we have our all have our role. We got to understand what was given to us to do. Or else we might be a foot trying to be the head. We might be a hand trying to be an eye. We might be a knee trying to be the mouth. For our comely parts have no need, but Elohim has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacks. Don't be ashamed of wherever you're at in the body, play your role. And if you happen to be one of those uncomely parts, play the role. Do what he tells you to do. It's necessary. Things we are supposed to remember because we are the temple. And we are the body of Messiah. See, today we got everybody wanting to be the head. Nobody wanting to be the foot. All Indians or all chiefs and no Indians. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. If you cut your hand, you may not feel it in your foot, but your foot, now it takes more energy to mend your hand. And some of it ain't going to go to the foot or go to some other part of the body that could have used it. So when one part of the body get hurt, the whole body is hurt. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Mashiach, and members in Elohim. I said some in the church. That's the body. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, health, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. The gift of tongues, not the birth tongue. And when I'm talking about the birth tongue, when you get filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, then there is the gift of tongues, where you speak in a tongue as the Spirit gives you utterance by in it, and it's able to be interpreted, either by you or somebody else. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gift. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So when we are in the Spirit, then we got to understand that we all have a function in, as the tabernacle, as a member in the body, that we have to be doing what the Most High tells us to do. So the Most High places us in the body where he wants us, where he needs us. Okay, let's continue here. So we as Israel, we have a job to teach the Gentiles during this time. Go to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, let's get verse 22. You shall have the same law for the stranger and for and one from your own country. For I am Yah your Elohim. We can't have a different set of laws for us and for the stranger. You see, some people think that because there are different requirements for certain tribes, like the Levitical priesthood, they couldn't do certain things, that there's two separate laws. No, there's restrictions in the law, and there are permissions in the law. All of the other 12 tribes were restricted from handling the ark in the tabernacle. But we apply that same law to the stranger. All the other laws, not different laws. They got to go by the same laws we go by. We can't have a different set of laws for us and for them, except for the restrictions or the permission. It's the same law, though. It's not a different law. It's concerning what place you're at in the body as to what you can and cannot do. Let's go to Leviticus chapter. Go to Exodus chapter 1st day. It's the Sabbath of Yah, your Elohim. This is what we're supposed to be teaching the Gentiles, the nations. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughters, nor your male servants, nor your female servants, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate. Supposed to abide by the same law. See, today we got family members want to do one thing. Children want to do their own thing. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe differently. But Yah says we're supposed to teach them. No, you need to honor my Sabbath. I don't care if it's your son or your daughter, if it's a male servant, if it's somebody living with you. If they're in your house, they're supposed to honor it. You don't want to honor it? Get out. Go to Exodus chapter 12, 49. Exodus chapter 12, verses 48 through 49. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised. See, that's why I said you just can't invite anybody to Passover. This is a law. It didn't change in the New Testament. Neither was Passover done away with. But people would rather keep the feast days of the world rather than the feast days of the Most High. Let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near. When I told a pastor this, he was upset. Dude, just because you're a pastor don't mean you can do whatever you want to do. And because you learn about a feast day and you want to keep it, don't mean that you can or ought to. What are the requirements to keep that feast day? This is what they need to be taught. They'll be a native of the land. But now you get circumcised, you want to come close to the Most High, you want to keep his Passover, you believe in Messiah, filled with the Ruach. There'll be as one in the land, as we got those requirements today. For no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. See, we're in a strange land, and we want to apply the laws of the land and circumvent and skirt the laws of the Most High. We'd rather keep the laws of the land than to keep the laws of the Most High. But it's the same law to Israel and to the stranger. To treat them fairly. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16. And I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brethren. Remember, we ain't supposed to go to the world. Between man and his brother, or the stranger who is with him. You know, you go to court today, the court ain't worried about no worldly standards. The court has its own standards. And if they want to do you wrong, they'll do you wrong. They will judge between white and black differently. And then say that they follow the Elohim of the Bible and have different standards for different people, but the most fair with the Gentiles. But the Gentiles don't want to be fair with us. But we're accountable to the Most High. Okay, so we can't do them like they do us. And I had a bunch more verses for that, but we're going to stop here. We're just going to go to John chapter 5. And word of the Most High read, for this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments. This is his love. Want to show me how you love me? Keep my commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, are not hard, are not a burden to do. For whosoever is born of Elohim overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, that we keep his commandments. We think our faith is, oh, I believe in Messiah, and I believe in the Most High. But I don't believe and I got to do what he says to do. I don't believe that I got to do what he says is written. I don't believe that I got to operate within those boundaries. No, I don't think that part is right, so I ain't doing that. And I don't believe this part is right, so I ain't doing that. But I agree with this right here and this right here, so I'll do that. He don't give us the option to choose, to pick and choose. If we're not doing it, how can we teach them? If we don't honor it, how can we teach them? We can't. We want to teach. But we want to teach the ways of the world and how to be prosperous in the world according to the world's standards, according to the world's definition of happiness or prosperity. Not according to the way that the Most High says to do it. Can't be living and breathing tabernacles and not keeping the commandments of the Most High. That's what tabernacles is to remind us of. We are the temple. We are the tabernacle. When that veil ripped, Most High says, okay, Israel, you can no longer meet me there, even though I ain't been meeting you there for a minute. Fine. The Holy of Holies is now exposed and it's open. And it's exposed and open because I ain't there. I'm going to meet you by a new and living way. I want to put my spirit within you and walk in you. And I want you to keep my commandments. So I pray this tabernacle invite and tell someone not in truth. One, it may be a friend, it may be a relative, a Gentile. Tabernacles. Let me share the gospel with you. But it shouldn't be the same gospel that they hear every day. Because the world has corrupted it. And only the ones the Most High really wants to draw Well, heed to it, but that's not your problem. You just offer it. You did what you were supposed to do. May the Most High bless. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. Remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Offer the gospel of the kingdom to someone in spirit and in truth. Just tell them. You want to know the love of Elohim? Commandments. Tell them that. And his commandments are not grievous. It ain't hard. Shouldn't hate to do it. Shouldn't cause you grief to do it. You should love doing it. Tomorrow morning, as the Most High leads us, so shall we come. It's still day six. We will have a lesson, and we will celebrate Yah and what he has given us and what he has offered to us. Shalom, family. Have a blessed Sabbath and a blessed tabernacle on this.
Shalom, Brother Miles, Sister Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Tabernacle and happy High Sabbath.
Shalom, my sisters. Happy Tabernacle and happy
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Peace and blessings to everyone.
Peace and blessings.